The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The News Run on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
Now, you're welcome along. Tuesday's Off the Ball. It's Joe here. Dan McDonald is with us for the football show between 9 and 10. Rob Harris will also join us. Rob has been following the Newcastle owner's story over the past few days, and these are interesting times, I think it's fair to say. So Rob will join us around 9:30 or so. This hour, Mick Foley of the Sunday Times on the line. Special Congress is obviously happening on Saturday. It does seem increasingly as if the much heralded, celebrated Proposal B won't get the required 60%. So we'll get Mick's take on how the last couple of weeks have unfolded. And then after 8, John Coughlin's a sprint coach. He's worked with inter-county GAA teams, Olympic gold medalists across the past 20 years. He will chat to us about speed in all sports. And Chantelle Jennings from The Athletic on a fairy tale finale to the Women's NBA Championship. 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, hello.
Hey, Joe.
And Will O'Callaghan with us. Hello, Will.
Joe, Richie, how are you getting on?
Champions League evening as well, I should mention. Liverpool in action against Atletico. Manchester City already an hour into their game against Bruges, where Kevin De Bruyne, in front of, I'm sure, an enthralled Belgian audience, has watched their boy play a beautiful pass through for Kyle Walker to make it 3-0 Man City. And so they are home and hosed already with half an hour to go. Decent evening's fair ahead in the Champions League, Will, not least in Madrid.
Yeah, Atletico against Liverpool, definitely the game of the night. Atletico Madrid have been much improved since the first international break. They've hit their stride within La Liga. Really good result for them in the Champions League game away from home against AC Milan when they got a very late winner scored from the penalty spot by Luis Suarez. So Liverpool are going to have to deal with one of their best former players of the last decade or so tonight. Anton Griezmann coming back into the Atletico Madrid setup too has bolstered their attack. And while in recent years it's all been about Atletico Madrid stopping their opponents going to the Wanda and playing any football in front of them, they also now have a little bit more going forward than perhaps they had the last season or two. And Atletico are looking pretty decent in the Liga currently, despite the odd slip-up along the way. It's a title race in the Liga so far where nobody seems to want to take absolute control. And we've got the Clásico this weekend with Real Madrid and Barcelona. But it's going to be a tough nut for Liverpool to crack. But if Liverpool can win, it puts them in an extremely strong position in the group, having been impressive in their first two games. And that is the game probably to watch in Europe tonight.
We'll be talking with Mick Foley this hour of the Sunday Times about Special Congress. Not so much just to allay fears, because Lord knows no one wants to hear any more tweaking to proposed systems, but just to get his sense of the last couple of weeks, because it has been quite striking. The nature of the debate, Will, it's unusual in some respects that GAA throw it out and say, we'll discuss that amongst yourselves. And so the media largely seem to conduct the debate, which is always a bit random and unbalanced, and certain areas are amplified and others aren't. And things like the finances, there's confusion there, where a member of the task force says on OTBAM there'll be 10 million extra, and then GAA finance department come out and say, well, that's not actually true, and just kind of this vacuum. And I would say where we are now, the wind is blowing towards status quo, I think.
I think so. I think it's unlikely at this stage, although 4 days is a long time in politics, that the required 60% would be met for Proposal B to be in place for next season, albeit that the championship is due for reform at the end of next season anyway. And I wonder if this doesn't get passed, whether some of the counties who have already openly come out, the fact that 4 in 5 players say they want to change to the status quo with the championship that we have currently, if reforms might be baked into whatever the championship is going to look like beyond 2022. We are in, Joe, at this stage, the very final part of the process, which is really, we've got 3 or 4 county boards who've come out openly and spoken about their intentions to vote. We know that 3 of them now have declared that all of their delegates will be voting in favour of Proposal B for this weekend. That is Clare, Westmeath and Offaly. It emerged this morning that Laois are leaving a free vote for their delegates for this weekend after their county board meeting, which took place last night. And the reasoning that Laois have done so is that they believe there could well be amendments to Proposal A or B before it meets the Clare floor at the weekend on Saturday lunchtime at the Special Congress. So I think watch this space, that potentially there could be changes made to Proposal A or B before it even gets voted on this weekend. I believe that there's going to be a meeting of Ulster chairman this evening with the Ulster CEO and secretary, Brian McAvoy. And in all likelihood, Ulster could vote on block for this weekend. And I think if the nine Ulster counties, plus the provincial councils and, say, some members of central council were to vote against the idea of proposal B, it's probably dead on arrival before it hits the clore at the weekend. So it's going to be very interesting to see how those Ulster counties are going to vote after they speak later on this evening.
Well, that possibility of some last-minute amendments, obviously, is very interesting. I would presume the one that jumps to mind, because the big complaint has been that the provincial championships, I guess if you can even call them championships, the provincial round robin competition in the first part of the year, the complaint is, well, these will just wither and become pre-season events and teams won't play their best teams. One of the potential solutions to that is you somehow give points towards the winners of the provincial championships, which apply to the league aspect of the championship. Now, others have said, well, you know, you're still just favouring the big teams, but at least it would incentivise the provincial tournament early in the year. Who knows? It doesn't sound like Ulster are too keen either way. So we'll wait and see over the next few days. Mick Foley with us. 7:30. We should get into the news round, Richie. It is, as ever, with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. We had a COVID briefing this afternoon.
Yeah, and while the arts sector is withering on the vine after today's announcement, outdoor sporting events will be allowed to operate at full capacity from this Friday. It follows the government's announcement this afternoon, and 50,000 fans will be permitted for the Republic of Ireland's World Cup qualifier with Portugal at the Aviva on November 11th. While this Friday's FAI Cup semi-finals at both Ladymount Park and Richmond Park can double their capacities, and all three, of course, of Ireland's autumn rugby internationals can also welcome full houses.
Okay, great. Well, 50,000 for the Portugal game will be great. Lots of people will be rushing to watch Ronaldo. We'll discuss Ronaldo a bit on the football show. He does seem to be increasingly just a problem for Manchester United. Michael Cox from The Athletic was writing about the Ronaldo problem, and it's a complicated piece, and he takes a real tactical look at the many, many ways in which Ronaldo's efforts, quote-unquote efforts, are not exactly helping Manchester United when they don't have the ball. For instance, just to start, we can all get our heads around pressing actions per 90 minutes of players who've placed a certain number of games. So Michael Cox has looked at this. Pressing actions per 90 minutes. Top of the table, most pressing actions per 90 minutes. Wilfred Zaha with 20 per 90 minutes. Diogo Jota is 19.8. Aubameyang, 14 times a match. He'll initiate and follow through in a pressing action. Salah, a respectable 12. In fairness, the man's busy being the best player in the world right now, so 12 is fine. Mane, 10.5. Bottom of the table, not second bottom, not third bottom. Bottom of the table, Ronaldo, 2.7 times he'll make an effort to press. So Wilfred is doing 20 a match, and then Ronaldo, 2.7 times, Richie. He'll reluctantly look over at Mason Greenwood and say, we really should press here. Okay, yeah, let's get this out of the way. It's my one per half.
Yeah, it's a problem we saw coming because it's one that we highlighted at Juventus prior to him moving there. And essentially, I think it was Miguel Delaney said that increasingly there he'd become a piece of heavy artillery that's wheeled into place for, you know, a certain designed move and will, you know, often finish it off. But you're depending on him an awful lot to have to finish that off, and everything else suffers because of it. And that's where Manchester United find themselves now, is that everything is being done to serve Cristiano Ronaldo. And if you're not able to feed him, then he's not going to score. And if he's not going to score, then the team as a whole probably isn't going to score. And they're leaving themselves open to concede because they've got two centre-backs at the moment who have all the pace of coastal erosion. So it's a bit of a mess they find themselves in. And I don't think it's one that's going to be solved while Ronaldo is there or while Solskjaer is there either.
No, it's a real mess. So we'll chat a bit more about that on the football show. Dan McDonald in between 9 and 10. Speaking of the football, I mentioned Man City. They're cruising 3-0 against Bruges. In fact, they have just scored a fourth, Manchester City. So they've gone 4-0 up now.
Yeah, and they'd just taken off Kevin De Bruyne to widespread applause, as you mentioned there, in Bruges at the moment. As I mentioned, Club Brugge 0, Manchester City 4. João Cancelo opened the scoring. Riyad Mahrez doubled their advantage from the penalty spot. Kyle Walker, aided by Kevin De Bruyne, added a third, and City have just scored a fourth there. In the past few moments, this game is home and indeed hosed. And a good result for City against what had been up until tonight, one of these surprise packages in Group A. It is that substitute Cole Palmer who scored their fourth tonight. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says they're coming up against a results machine tonight. They've made the trip to the Wanda Metropolitano for a Group B clash with Atletico Madrid. Alisson returns in goal for Liverpool tonight in one of a couple of changes from Saturday's victory. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Joel Matip and Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson are their back four. In midfield then, we've got James Milner, Jordan Henderson and Naby Keita. Fabinho is good enough for a place on the bench. Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane start up front in a three-man attack. For Atletico, it's Jan Oblak in goal, a back three of Felipe, Jeffrey Kondogbia and Mario Hermoso. Kieran Trippier and Yannick Carrasco provide the width. In midfield, we've got Thomas Lemar, Koke and Rodrigo De Paul. And then up front, it's Joao Felix in support of Antoine Griezmann. And Luis Suarez against his former club is on the bench tonight. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock.
Yes, Suarez coming back from injury. I'm sure we'll see him on stage. I do take Klopp's point that they're a winning machine. At the same time, they are only fourth in La Liga, Will. So it's slightly different maybe to the dynamic in 2020, last time they met, of course.
Yeah, and look, Liverpool probably would have won that game 2 years ago when they were knocked out in the game that kind of fell either side of the pandemic if it hadn't been for Adrian being in goal, because he doesn't make the mistakes that gives Marcus Llorente a couple of soft goals at Anfield. They would have knocked Atletico Madrid out. And look, Liverpool have gone to Madrid. They've played two teams from the capital, Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid, in the last couple of seasons and been knocked out with those fixtures. Liverpool are still going to come out of this group without any particular problem. But given some of the teams that are potentially going to finish up in second place, if you want to top the group, they need to get a positive result here against Atletico Madrid. And Diego Simeone's side are going to make them work extremely hard to do so. Although you can see, and I was listening to Graham Hunter talking about Atletico, the La Liga commentator, this morning, that Atletico are slowly but surely shifting system as the season goes on. And the team that Richie has just named out is incredibly attacking by their standards, in that you're expecting Carrasco to play effectively as a left wing back. Thomas Lemar will give him a bit of cover over on that left hand side, but they've got three attackers who are probably not going to do a massive amount of pressing tonight, particularly Griezmann and Joao Felix. And they're just allowing a lot of attackers to go onto the pitch compared to what Atletico used to do once upon a time. Like in recent seasons, we've been used to them having one pivotal number nine and then playing a lot of players retreated back against the bigger teams. Yeah. And I'm intrigued to see how attacking Atletico will be in practice.
Did you refer to Graham Hunter there as La Liga commentator?
Yeah, he works for La Liga TV now.
Surely Graham Hunter needs no introduction in these parts. He's just Graham
Probably
Hunter.
Probably not.
It's like Will O'Callaghan, Graham Hunter.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, we don't need that. Jimmy... Bit pedantic, Jimmy. I'll be rushing to watch my national team's new youthful and refreshing style under a good manager. I couldn't give a toss about Ronaldo. Jimmy, allow a man a radio segue into a Ronaldo discussion. Come on, let's a bit more compassion towards each other. The only thing the GAA bigwigs love more than Gareth Brooks is the status quo, says Dan, disappointed in leadership in Ulster. I mean, they do love Gareth Brooks. They do love status quo. It is disappointing, really. Mick Foley's on the way. He doesn't think, Richie, like this is a case of, well, if this doesn't get through, it could be five more years until another proposal goes before Congress. He does at least think that such is the call for change now and such is the general acceptance that something has to happen, that if this is rejected, there will be something else on the table, say, next year. So there won't be that grim sense of, oh, God, it's another 5 years till we get a crack at this. You know, it's not like losing the presidency.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be doing a montage to the tune of Scorpions' Winds of Change soon enough regarding this. Like, there is something coming as regards it. Like I mentioned yesterday, Mick Reynolds, the Leinster GAA secretary, highlighting that it is within the purview of provincial, provincial boards to alter how their championships are played. So there is the scope to increase the number of games for so-called lesser counties by introducing round-robin affairs into the likes of Leinster, or perhaps into Ulster as well, if they wanted to, although I'm not sure they do. But Munster and Connacht, I think, would definitely benefit from that. So there is a sense that things are going to head in the right direction, but there is going to need to be a little bit of a big picture towards this, because like that thing of wondering if the provincials have just become pre-season competitions. How many games do you want amateur athletes to actually play and to be working themselves towards, and how much of the calendar year do you want them working a full pelt? Because again, like, it's either an amateur sport or it's not.
Yeah,
you know, and that discussion needs to enter into this as well. Like, you can't flog them for an entire year just because certain competitions have tradition. You need to take everybody's benefit and well-being and the competition's benefit and well-being into account.
Yeah,
before making these decisions.
Yeah, like, Personally, I do think that the likelihood, despite, you know, certain players saying it won't happen, I do think the likelihood is that that provincial competition would become effectively pre-season tune-up, wouldn't see the best players,
Would it be facetious? So what if it does?
That'd be my sense as well. It might be a price worth paying. Yeah. I think they're being genuine now, but I just think the reality is that's how it would go. Now, sorry, before clock comes against us, Davey Fitzgerald, the man likes to keep us on our toes.
He does indeed, yeah. David Fitzgerald is poised. You won't like that, by the way, the height differential. David Fitzgerald is poised to be named the new Galway senior hurling manager. It is reported that the former Clare, Wexford and Waterford boss will be confirmed as Shane O'Neill's successor even tomorrow night. Fitzgerald left the Wexford job in the summer after 5 years at the helm. He will be assisted, it seems, by a Clare-heavy backroom team, including a former Galway coach in Louis Mulqueen. He worked under Gerlach Nan during his spell there. Staying in Galway, Keane O'Neill last night added to Pádraig Joyce's coaching staff with the senior footballers. The former Kildare boss served in a similar capacity with the Cork footballers under Ronan McCarthy for the past 2 years.
So, Will, we have Galway hurling, high profile, never dull. We have David Fitzgerald, high profile, never dull. This is a marriage made in heaven. Whoever wants to get in and start writing the book on this now, it's going to be an interesting couple of years.
Yeah, put in the added factor that potentially you could have Davy Fitzgerald trying to get Joe Canning, who he has managed previously, to come back out of retirement to play for the Galway Hurlers next year. So did a little bit of digging on this earlier because I was a bit surprised when the first rumours started circulating this morning about Davy Fitzgerald being an imminent appointment for Galway, because it would appear behind the scenes that there's been all sorts of conversations happening about the Galway job over the last particularly 3 to 4 weeks. And it seemed at one point that Micheál Donoghue was going to be a real runner to come back in for a second spell in charge. And then those talks fell down, and at that point it looked like they were going to go potentially towards promoting Brian Hanley, the former Westmeath manager, and the guy's been a great job with his Galway underage teams in recent years, right up to the top job. And then this Davy Fitzgerald rumour comes around. What made me kind of sceptical about it, Joe, is that Saoirse Bulfin, who has worked as the hurling coach for Davy Fitzgerald for the last 11, 12 years, had last week taken the coaching job in Meath under Nick Weir. And I thought the minute he took that job, that was a strong indication that Davy Fitzgerald was not going to take an inter-county job for the 2022 season. I took it with a bit of salt when he spoke to Clare FM back in early September. And when Davy said, "Ah, no, lads, I don't think I'm going in for a job. I think I need a year off." I think if the right job came around, and Galway would be a very prominent position, that Davy Fitzgerald would be interested in doing so. The big question is Davy Fitzgerald the guy that you want to be there for what's going to be a little bit of a rebuild for Galway over the next couple of seasons, albeit they still have some players who are around from 2017. The difference maker is if you get Joe Canning to come back out of retirement, things look a little bit different than what it would look like for Galway when they had such a disappointing championship campaign after an impressive start to the league this year, where genuinely some people saw them as a contender to Limerick to win the All-Ireland title.
There's a text in from Dave in Leash who questions the Salah, the world's best player. There's more to football than the Premier League. Lewandowski, Muller, Kimmich, Donnarumma, to name just a few, Dave in Leash. Three Bayern players.
Donnarumma, the PSG sub-goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think, well, Lewandowski is massively underrated. I think on current form, Salah's just about the world's best player. I think he'd be close to first name on most team sheets at the moment. Don't think it's that controversial.
Lewandowski should have won it last year, Joe. Ballon d'Or hadn't been postponed, he would have won it last season. Like, he's still banging in tons of goals this year. But just look at Mo Salah over the last couple of weekends, his performance last week, albeit against the Watford team who down tools pretty quickly. But the way he played against Man City, that finish on his right foot as well.
Yeah.
Salah's the form player in the world right now.
Yeah. Look, you can't.
There, by the way.
Karim Benzema, he does, absolutely. Yeah. You can't please everyone. That's what we're learning. Dave and Leash, who is the best player in the world? You text that in, then we'll pick holes in that. That's maybe the easier way
everybody
for this to work.
Everybody text in. Yeah. 30 cents ago. Yeah.
So, that's the GA. So, David Fitzgerald, that's interesting news at Galway. Leash, senior football manager announced.
Yeah, Billy Sheehan last night ratified as the new Leash senior football manager. He takes over from another Kerry native in Mick Quirk. And meanwhile, Leash delegates will have a free vote regarding the proposals facing Special Congress on Saturday. Former GEA president John Horan has given his backing to Proposal B, saying he'd like to see it given a 2-year trial from 2023. According to the Mayo News this evening, delegates in the county are unlikely to support Proposal B. They'd sought input from the clubs over the past few weeks regarding their views on the matter. And speaking to the football show today, Derry manager Rory Gallagher voiced his displeasure with the league as championship format.
I think there's two things you can win, as a young GAA player: a provincial championship and an All-Ireland. And people are saying, you know, some of the arguments are that our teams have no realistic chance of winning All-Ireland. That's not going to change no matter what. So it's not, you know, the Premiership can only be won by two or three teams. There's hardly going to be a foreign just the way Newcastle were taken over. Somebody's not going to take over Waterford Gaelic footballers, or not going to take over Fermanagh Gaelic footballers from there and finance them. I think still in Fermanagh, you've a dream of winning a provincial championship, and to take that away would be totally wrong.
The provincials still would exist. The only thing they're taking away is the link between...
The link. There'd be glorified challenge games.
Yeah, so that's Rory Gallagher and his view. And increasingly, I think it seems to be going that way, barring some big intervention over the next couple of days. Still nothing from the GAA hierarchy as such. Rich, do you want to give us one last quick story?
Elsewhere, Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer obviously defending his corner following comments from Jamie Carragher overnight as well. But also news regarding Newcastle, because the Premier League clubs have voted to impose a temporary ban on any of them signing commercial and sponsorship deals with businesses that are linked to their owners. Funny enough that concerns have been raised about Newcastle using its way to get around financial fair play rules using their Saudi-backed takeover. Newcastle voted against the freeze, while, surprise, surprise, Manchester City abstained from the vote.
we couldn't possibly comment, say Man City. Fellas, we are done. Thank you very much. Richie McCormack, cheers.
Nice one.
Will O'Callaghan, thank you.
Joe, very quick one for you on the GAA hierarchy. Go. They are speaking tomorrow. Tom Ryan, the most powerful man in the GAA, even more powerful than the president, as the Robert Stridahor, will speak at noon tomorrow. And Larry McCarthy will also speak tomorrow. They've got their Congress briefing at noon. And OTB will be along to cover it.
Okay. Interesting. Very good. Will, thanks a million.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Right, that's it. Just one more bet and I'm done.
I haven't got a problem. Sure, it's only scratch cards. Everyone does it.
It's hard to take that first step and admit you have a gambling problem. At HelpLink, we offer a free gambling addiction.